Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox, where the game lives on. It never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me in person is Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And we are here to talk about aging Australia because,
I'm old.
Yeah, he's also old. But this video was recorded in the direct aftermath of Australia losing that first test to Bangladesh in Darwin. But that doesn't change the fact that this is an exceptionally aging team. And, I mean, there's one guy under 30, which is Cam Green, who's 27. And there's this fear...
Well, he's not a bowler, so...
Yeah. But there's this fear that it's all going to come crashing down very, very soon, especially with that bowling attack, right? Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, three pros. They've never had these three, or bowlers who are this good, three at the same time. They've had Lilly at one point, or McGrath at the other. Gillespie was there in between.
No, they had... Oh, you're just talking seam?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, purely seam. This is probably the best all-round bowling.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about pace trios, probably think about the West Indies in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, they had McGrath, Lee and Gillespie all over.
Yes. But I think, you know, Cummins, Stark and Hazelwood are better trio than McGrath, Lee and Gillespie. Binger does leak a few runs. He's incisive, though.
Yeah, it's maybe they are, but they had Shane Warne.
Right. I mean, Warney kind of changes everything.
Here's what's interesting about this. Pattinson, Stark and Hazelwood are all born, I want to say, within 12 months of each other.
Uh-huh.
Cummins is 2 years older.
Not older.
Younger,
yeah,
sorry.
Younger.
And Lyon is 2 years older,
yep.
I think, right? I don't think there's ever been a case in history of a bowling attack that has been sort of been allowed to mature and age out and play with each other for this long. They lose Pattinson, obviously, early on. And you know, unfortunately had to retire at a very early age.
Yeah.
But he was the first one to kind of break through, I would say. Maybe Stark might have been a little bit.
Under Mickey Arthur, I think.
Yeah, but Pattinson was incredible. Like, his bowling average is still really good in Test cricket.
Yeah, and his brother played for England.
Yeah. And so they thought they had this incredible unit. And Lyon's the one that was a surprise. No one saw Lyon coming through. And they end up then with a bunch of people on the same age curve, right?
Yeah.
And if you go through the history of cricket, there just aren't many times when a team has had four bowlers anywhere near this quality who all happen to be the same age.
Yeah. I mean, look, Nathan Lyon, you could say, might be towards the end of it, but you've got the likes of Todd Murphy, Matt Kuhneman. You can see bowlers who could potentially replace him. Who in the world will replace Mitch Stark, Pat Cummins, and Josh Hazelwood? Is it Xavier Bartlett?
Well, I mean, I take it back. Todd Murphy has struggled in first-class cricket. He's finally found some form for Victoria, so we hope he's coming back through.
Uh-huh.
Kuhneman, they don't seem to think can play in Australia, and his record in Australia is not particularly good.
Uh-huh.
That's not an easy replacement.
Fair enough.
But you do have people, and I think that's the most important thing. So let's get to the replacements. Because we haven't even mentioned this. Scott Boland is a replacement.
Yes, but Scott Boland is also old.
Older than these guys we're talking about.
As is Nisa, right? He's not young.
Nisa is old, right?
Jai?
I'm missing, there's one other one as well.
Has to be Jai.
No, Doggett played for them.
Yeah, but is Doggett going to play again?
Doesn't matter. He's 32.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Jai Richardson is the only young bowler they've had come through in the last generation.
And he's always injured.
He's 29 and always injured.
Yep.
Right? Which is a bad combination. 29 and always injured. He's the last bowler, I think, since Hazelwood, who made his debut before the age of 22.
Uh-huh.
They're not picking young bowlers. They're not coming through the system. They're producing a lot of the same kinds of bowlers. You know, this sort of, what's his name? Fergus O'Neill type bowler, Chris Tremaine type bowler. You know, but they can't fit all of them in the same team together. They're not out and out pace. They've got some young, very young bowlers coming through.
Yeah,
but those are 3 or 4 years away from being good test bowlers.
Those are the two under-19 boys, right? Callum Vidler and Marley Beardman.
And there's the guy who just took the 8-wicket haul against Bangladesh.
Exactly, whose name I continue to forget.
Yeah, that guy. So they have very young guys, but those guys are 3 to 4 years away from being consistent test playing. And they don't really have a lot of other senior players unless Boland, Nisa and Jai Richardson can do something. But there's a big step down for that attack than there is from Cummins, Stark and Hazelwood, right?
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing for me is that we've never actually had a team with such a generational bowling attack that are all, as I said, of a similar age of play. So people keep saying, well, they haven't bred any other youngsters. And I'm like, well, which youngster could have come into this side?
Yeah.
Jai Richardson, as good as he is not better than Pat Cummins.
Nope.
Right? he doesn't replace what Josh Hazlewood does, and he's not 6'7" and left arm.
Yeah.
Right? And so how good is Scott Boland? Scott Boland can't get in the fucking side, right? So unfortunately, they're being hoisted by their own petard. And this is the third time in history where Australia has had, very good bowlers who've all aged out and then they've struggled. So the first time is basically when Dennis Lilly disappears.
Uh-huh.
Australian bowling just falls off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be their two or three worst years in seam bowling history.
Okay.
Is after Lilly gets injured.
When does McDermott come in?
So McDermott and Merv Hughes start in 85, 86,
mm-hmm.
but they're prospects.
Right.
Right? Bruce Reid is there, mm-hmm. but Bruce Reid is often injured. So they don't really do anything. The next one is when Warne, McGrath, and Gillespie. So yep. Gillespie ages out about a year earlier, mm-hmm. right? But he essentially goes at a similar time. They would have expected Gillespie to play longer than McGrath or Warne,
true.
And it doesn't happen. And so you end up in this situation where the same thing, it keeps happening to them. And now there's nothing else to say about this other than the fact that they are through no fault of their own in a situation where this has happened and the generation under them hasn't played enough and probably just isn't good enough, if we're being honest.
Yeah. I mean, look, there were players in the fringes even during that McGrath, Gillespie, Warne era. Like, for instance, Stuart Clark comes to mind, right? Who did well. Hmm. Then when all of those guys left, you had like this brief period where Ryan Harris was killing it, right? You had these experienced pros who were at that age where they could step into the team and nothing would change as much.
But it did change.
Yeah, I mean, the Hilfenhaus Bollinger era was tough.
Hilfenhaus Bollinger, Mitchell Johnson learning the game, yeah. Peter Siddle coming through. That was a big step back, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, we talk about the 10-11 Ashes as not being a particularly strong side. That's the bowling attack we're talking about,
true.
Right? I think Ryan Harris coming in as a late bloomer really helps them.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mitchell Johnson. And then on the back of that, Hazlewood and Stark come through with a little bit of Pattinson as well. If you go back to the 90s, and they don't have to replace anyone in the 90s, but if you go back to the 90s, their backup seam bowling was probably Fleming, Rifle, Bickle, Kasperwitz, right?
Yes.
That's fantastic backup bowling. Mm. But if that's your main bowling attack, you're still going to struggle.
True.
And so even if they had those bowlers now, there would be a drop-off. Right?
There would be.
In this team. And you just, as you said before, McDermott, Merv Hughes, Bruce Reid, there was a drop-off there,
mm-hmm.
right? This one looks incredible, right? The interesting part of it is that Hazlewood wants to play test, but I'm not sure his body will allow it.
Yeah, it's already been like tough work for him. He hasn't featured in the previous Ashes.
Yep.
The India series, he
basically doesn't play test anymore. He just can't stay fit, right? Lyon has had two major injuries.
Yeah.
And his late 30s.
He never had injuries before that. All of a sudden, they've come together. He had some record, right, of consecutive test matches for Australia?
I mean, probably, yeah.
And
he played a million matches, yeah.
Doesn't feel like he can get through a series.
Right. Then you've got Cummins, who's had a back fracture recently.
Yep.
The only one of the four who looks completely fully fit is Mitchell Stark,
yeah.
who is giving up white ball cricket to play more red ball cricket.
Yep.
I think he wants to play as much test cricket as possible from here on in. Boland's had a lot of soft tissue injuries. We talked about Jai Richardson. You don't think Doggett's good enough?
Nope.
You could make the same argument perhaps for Bartlett, right?
Well, what has Bartlett done first class? Because we've seen him a lot in like white ball cricket, but is he even good with a red ball?
I mean,
because he seems to be that, you know, bowler they've tried to like throw out there that, okay, you're going to be the next guy to lead an attack.
To be fair, every Australian bowler does well in first class cricket at the moment. So he's got an average of 26. But remember that the overall averages are incredibly low.
Hmm.
Right? So there's no doubt there that there is, you know, a massive issue when it comes to that as well. So look, he's fine. He's not going to be the leader of this attack, right? Or sorry, I shouldn't say that. If he's going to be the leader of the attack, it's going to be the leader of the attack in the way that Ben Hilfenhaus was.
Yeah,
right?
And plus there's no way to phase these cricketers out either because they're all the same age.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when people say things like, oh, they've got to get young blood in, well, who do you drop of the four?
Exactly.
Right?
And if you are dropping someone, then why isn't Scotty Boland playing?
And,
right?
And then you're in that problem. Or you're like, well, Michael Nisick can bat, so why not get him in? So it's a really fascinating situation. And I think this is why it's really important. As great as Australia have been, when they lost Dennis Lilly and Tom O'Head was there as well. When they lost Dennis Lilly and when they lost Warne and McGrath and Gillespie, right? As great as Australian cricket has been, it's always had a reset, right? Now, those resets have often come, the team's been better afterwards, but they've always had that reset, right? West Indies didn't.
Yes, but they still had Courtney Walsh and Kirtley come after, you know, all
So West Indies had no reset.
Yeah.
I can't find another team, though, where you could make a claim that it legitimately didn't have a reset.
Well, let's think of them, right? So post Kirtley and Courtney, you know, you saw Merv Dillons and Collymores.
That's gone.
We're not talking about those guys. South Africa is interesting because Big Vern, Steyn and Morne Morkel.
Yeah.
Rabada comes in around the same time and there's like a seamless transition. And then you get your Duane Oliviers and Marco Janssens.
But you have to go back. Before that, they didn't really have that. And also, they weren't winning a lot of test matches with that attack either.
Yeah. What about New Zealand? Because they seem to have quite a factory.
Do they?
Then again, right now, it's Will O'Rourke, Matt Henry, and if those guys aren't available, then you're looking at Jameson, who you don't really know what you'll get with anymore.
They played Blair Tickner.
Blair Tickner is there as well, yeah.
The other day, right? So, my point is, it's
Bolt,
very
Wagner
hard.
And Saudi.
But also, you're talking about micro generations, right?
True.
I'm talking over a macro, you know, like a, not macro, sorry. I'm talking over a, like a widescreen view of like, if you look at the West Indies, they went from Andy Roberts, Michael Holding, Joel Garner, Colin Croft, to Courtney Walsh, Ian Bishop, Kirtley Ambrose.
Yep.
There aren't many teams who have ever done that before, right? Mm. South Africa is one of the closer ones to this.
Yeah.
And I think it was actually their batting that let them down and not their bowling. Mm. But even if you have a look at it, when Alan Donald goes and Sean Pollock's back isn't great, Mekhi Ntini's a fantastic bowler, but you don't want him to be your number one bowler.
Yeah, and then Andre Nell's your third seamer.
Right? So there's always a bit of a slipper.
And Andrew Hall is playing far too much international cricket, right? Like there's a bit of that as well.
So my point being is that there should be this, but this looks more steep than anything else. Now, as you said, we do know that there's about three or four younger players in Australia that Australia's very... So every time I do a video like this, I get a contact from someone in Australian cricket go, what about this guy? You haven't seen this 19-year-old. I was like, yes, but 19-year-olds don't fucking dominate test cricket very often. 23, 24, 25, 26-year-olds start to dominate. That's still a four-year period, right? It took Mitchell Johnson a long time to get good at cricket. It took Mitchell Stark a long time to get good at cricket. It took Craig McDermott a long time to be fit and active and be useful for the Australian cricket team. And so they've got this weird situation, so I think what George Bailey and Andrew McDonald have done, and probably Pat Cummins, because they're all pretty similar kinds of people.
Yeah.
I think they've all looked at this very, very closely and gone, we've got to play 20 test matches in a year.
Yeah, so that's a lot of test matches in a year.
So let's just ride this unit out and then let's worry about it at the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll have a quick break here.
Yep, quick break. You're watching Combox and we'll be back in like 20 seconds.
I have traveled the cricketing world and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Welcome back to Combox. You guys are with Jared and Behram and we are talking about aging Australia. Now, we've spent a fair bit of time talking about the bowling attack and how it's going to be really difficult once Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins and Nathan Lyon hang up their boots. And that might not even be that far from now, right? Mm. They've got this 20 test period in a year. They ride that wave. The cycle's over. What happens after? We don't know. But it's not just the bowlers. All of the batters are also old. Usman Khawaja's gone and they still don't have openers, right? It's a real shame that guy kept getting concussed. I forget
Will
his
Bukowski.
Name.
Will Bukowski is a huge loss. Yeah.
Will Bukowski is probably the biggest loss because he was someone who was going to represent Australia as an opener for years to come. Mm. And now you're looking at your Weatherals and McSweeney's.
How old's Weatherall?
Weatherall's probably 30 plus as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So McSweeney, Constance, fan just went off.
There's Cooper Connolly.
And Connolly, I would say the young players coming through where you have a legitimate... a sense of hope,
yeah.
A sense of thought of something might happen.
A lot of people are big on Renshaw these days. I saw Haydos saying that he should be in the team.
But Renshaw's not young.
Yeah.
He debuted against Pakistan. When
India, no?
I thought he debuted against Pakistan. Or was it the second test?
It might have been. Yeah. I can't remember.
He played against India and Pakistan early, yeah. Home and away. I remember that. He's not young again. Manus is over 30. Head's over 30.
Manus is probably going to lose his spot, by the way. We don't know if he retained his spot for the second test match right now.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he didn't.
Well, so Smith is old and Head is old.
Yes.
And if you are, those are the only two that you're sure is going to play in the next five test matches.
Even the wicketkeeper batter is old. Alex Carey ain't no spring chicken.
But yeah, I mean, I think his spot's fairly safe at the moment. But so there's massive issues there. Again, if you talk to some of the other countries around the world, they've got some young batters coming through. It's been a long time since anyone has told me that there's a young Australian batter coming through that they actually believe in.
Hmm.
There is a kid called Ollie Peake.
Ollie Peake, I was about to say. I've watched him bat.
Yeah, I watched his father bat.
Okay. But you know what they did with him in the T20 team? They chucked him at number 7.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Let him learn the international cricket. Look, I've got no issue with that. But again, he's not going to dominate now. He averages like 30 in first-class cricket or something, right? And so it's the same issues over and over again. I think McSweeney is the one that has to work for them.
You know what I think they should do? If they get rid of Manas at 3, they bring in a backup opener, or two openers actually, but they bring Head back at 5.
They don't have one opener.
They don't have one opener.
I mean, Weatherald is a backup, probably.
Yeah.
And Head is opening because they don't have another opener.
True. But not having Travis Head at 5 hurts them. But then again, Travis Head, how long will he play? That's another question.
That's what I mean.
Since he's also a bit of a late bloomer, he might have that drive to go on. But Smudger is probably retiring after this cycle, I would assume.
So they're in a really fascinating position.
Hmm.
And it is not, none of these things are easy. I think, just go back to your point at the start. The only position where I think to myself, I suppose wicketkeeper and spinner, the only two where I'm like, there are genuine replacements here where you could at least, you could fool yourself into believing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Murphy's going to have a Nathan Lyon, you know, arc to his career. But you could make that argument, and Kuhneman and him together is a good partnership, right?
True.
And Inglis as a backup wicketkeeper.
Yeah, Josh Inglis is all right.
Absolutely no issues there, right? The problem is that the main meat and potatoes of any cricket team is how many seamers you have available and how deep your batting is.
Yeah.
And they have fucking none. And it is not... I put my foot into Cricket Australia more than anyone here. I don't know how they're to blame here. It's just the batting didn't come through. Maybe they made the shield pitches too bowler friendly for too long. Maybe that's the only thing. But the test pitches are the same. I just think the conditions have changed in Australia.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, if Manas is still in the team, that tells you that they don't have a lot of options, right? I mean, even if Smudger retires tomorrow, that number 4 spot is going to kill them on its own.
Yeah.
Massive void over there.
They've got so many issues. And like sometimes this happens. But I do, what I really want to get across to everyone before we finish up here is just how important it is when you end up, like how freakish it is to end up in a situation that I have where such a generation is going to drop off and the next generation just isn't there. It's really rare to see this, especially from a team as good as Australia and who've been so good at finding talent.
Because even if you look at New Zealand, right, both Saudi Wagner have this run, but Henry is there and thereabouts who's now really good.
Jameson.
Yeah, Jameson, we see him in that World Test Championship.
Ravindra comes through, right?
Exactly.
And Australia doesn't have any players, like we've just said. That's the fascinating thing.
Australia would kill for a Will O'Rourke right now.
Oh.
Someone with those attributes, right? I mean, that is a major issue. And the interesting thing for me over here is
they'd probably kill for Will Young.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not being a smart ass. They would, if you went to Australia now, well, how old's Nathan Smith? 28?
Yeah, something like that.
If you went to Australia now and said you could trade Scott Boland, they may not need him, but whoever it may be, the end of Steve Smith's career for Will Young, right? And who's the other one?
Devon Conway?
Nathan Smith. I think they would take that, right? That's the situation they've ended up in, is they don't even have a lot of these 28 to 32-year-old players, let alone the 24 to 26-year-old players that they're desperate for.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated to see how they phase these cricketers out, if they phase them out at all or not, and what the drop-off is like inevitably, because we know we're staring at it.
Mm.
It is going to happen. No one's ready yet in waiting in the wings of the pipeline.
What's
going to
crash first, my computer or Australian cricket team?
No, your computer for sure, but here's to see how they bounce back versus Bangladesh, but they've got a lot of test cricket coming up. And we're curious.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.